Let's pray. Father, bless these moments, minutes, as we consider thy word and the minutes of grace and of yours. We pray that if there is someone here today who knows not Christ as their personal Savior and the joy of sins forgiven, they might come to know such a wonderful person and such a wonderful thing today. We pray that every believer might in a fuller and a greater measure appreciate your great work of salvation. Bless, we pray, all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 and following. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work. Notice the phrase in verse 12, and the books were opened. One day, God will go over the book. That will be an awful audit for anyone without Christ. The Bible teaches us that life is a stewardship. In Luke chapter 16, verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ calls our attention to that fact. And we hear one announce, give an account of thy stewardship. One day, the book will be opened. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14, beginning at the 9th verse. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. One day, everyone will give an account to God. That will be Judgment Day. I hope there's no one here this morning who invested heavily in Enron stock. I don't have to tell you what a mistake that turned out to be. Enron went from being the seventh largest company in America to an embarrassment and a boondoggle. Enron stock was being traded on the New York Stock Exchange for $85 a share. When it plunged and went into bankruptcy, it was trading at about 17 cents a share in February. Thousands of employees were laid off, discovering that their 401k retirement accounts were worthless. Many had lost their entire life savings, and many companies' portfolios were also reeling and staggering with the losses. It seems that the accounting firm of Arthur Andersen was cooking the book. Though through what they called creative accounting, they were hiding their liabilities. They were juggling the account. They were shielding their losses from both public and government oversight They were using offshore, quote, partnerships to hide their losses. On paper, everything looked good. In reality, they were bankrupt. While it may be possible in this world to juggle your books, it will be impossible to hide the truth from God on Judgment Day. Give an account of thy stewardship. One day, the Bible says, God will open the book. What a day that will be. Adam and Eve sinned against God and against their own person. Adam and Eve tried to hide their losses, their loss of innocence, their loss of their relationship with God, their loss of a place in paradise, the loss of their health, and of course what will be ultimately the loss of their life. They tried to cover their losses, but they were not successful. God saw through it all. The truth is, spiritually speaking, every sinner is bankrupt. The sooner they admit it, the better it will be. Don't wait until you get to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Don't wait until the books are opened. You need help right now. Bring your sins, like so many receipts and tickets in the shoebox, not to an accountant, but to the accountant of eternity. Bring your sins, bring your transgressions, bring your iniquities, and lay it all out on the table before God Almighty. Don't wait for the final audit. Don't wait for Judgment Day. Don't attempt to hide your losses, your liabilities, your sins, and your transgressions. For you cannot hide from God. One day, the Bible says, the book shall be opened. Jesus once said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Imagine working all your life only to discover no profit. What shall it profit a man, said Jesus, after life is done, after it's all over, and God goes over the book? What profit? What profit? What shall it profit a man, said Jesus, if he gain the whole world in one column and lose his own soul in the other? Oh, tragedy of tragedies. Turn with me in your Bibles to the prophet Haggai, please. That's the third prophet from the last book in the Minor Prophets. Haggai. Haggai, Zechariah. Haggai, chapter 1, look at it. Chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What a surprise when someone finally reaches into their bag. And they have been putting into that bag all their life. only to discover that all along there were holes in the bag, and now they have nothing. How tragic, how awful, how terrible. Haggai describes the life of the unbeliever, working all of his life, putting everything into a bag with holes. The people who worked for Enron kept putting it in, putting it in, putting it in. And if you would have asked them a year ago how things are going, for them to describe their portfolio, they would, with some amount of pride, tell you that they have finally become a millionaire, that now their assets are so large and so vast and so great. They would have told you a year ago how well they are doing. But little did they know that for all those months and all of those deposits and all of those investments, they were going into a bag that had holes in the bottom. And all the while, they were bankrupt. They were broke. What's it profit a man, said Jesus, if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, there are some here this morning, I'm sure, that they think they're doing very well in the spiritual bookkeeping department. In the spiritual bookkeeping department, they're absolutely convinced that they are not only solvent, but they are satisfied. They're doing well. If you'd ask them to tell you, they would say that they are depositing all their good deeds and their good works, and that somehow they're hoping that it's going to accrue to a great interest, and that they will be wealthy. And that somehow, when life is all over, they'll hear God say, "Well done." As a matter of fact, there are some people who are, quote, religious that are counting on that. But they're cooking the book. They're juggling the figures. They're using some creative accounting. And the truth of the matter is, you can't fool God. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, please. Jeremiah chapter 9. And verse 23 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What a big mistake it is when someone works all of their life and thinks that things are well in the spiritual bookkeeping department, and all the while somebody's cooking the book. And they have been deceived. Turn with me again to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 12 about a man who had great investment, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here was a man who had made some great investments. This was his 401k. It was a silo in a barn filled with grain. He had worked all of his life, and now he tells his soul to take his ease, for he has all this, he has all these goods stored up. Look at it. Verse 18. He calls it my goods. You speak to the average person today and ask them if they're going to heaven, and they'll tell you they're planning on it and they're hoping for it, and you ask them to give some explanation for the reason of their hope, and they'll talk about their goods. All the goods that they have done. And they're counting on it. They say, well, I'm not perfect, but I've done a lot of good. And matter of fact, all of those goods are stored up somewhere on Judgment Day. God's going to see all of my goods, and I'm going to get into heaven, and that's what they're hoping for. Maybe they belong to some religious group that has told them that they can add up all those goods, and not only can they enjoy the goods in this life, but in the hereafter, God would be impressed as he goes over the numbers. There is a question today whether or not Arthur Anderson has committed some fraud. It's being investigated right now if Arthur Anderson and the accounting firm that was supposed to be the oversight, failed to blow the whistle at crooked bookkeeping. Not only that, but somehow was culpable in participating in the hiding of losses. That's for the court to decide. If they're guilty, that is tantamount to malpractice. Malpractice in accounting is supposed to do a good, clean accounting job. And if they indeed did break the law, not only will they have to answer to the Supreme Court of the state of Texas, but they'll have to answer perhaps to the higher court of the land. But let me ask you a question. If some religion tells you, after going over your spiritual books, that everything is okay, that all your goods are adding up in the credit columns, and that you are wealthy with goods, and they're wrong. And you stand before God Almighty only to find out that you're bankrupt. And those goods account to nothing. They're worthless stock. What would you do? Who can you sue? Who can you sue in eternity when time is no more? Who can you sue for malpractice after someone has told you all your life that you count on your good and your good work to get to heaven? Who can you sue? The answer is no one. No one. Time shall be no more. And someone has deceived you. Someone has misled you. Someone has lied to you. Turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that one day the book will be opened. I don't know what those books really look like. Is there a library somewhere in eternity? Is there an accounting office somewhere in heaven? Does God have them stacked up on their end, or are they lying on their side? Is there a book for you with your name on it? Or are you listed with many others? And I don't know. The Bible says that one day the book the book will be opened. And everyone will have to give an account of himself to God. Now, before that great judgment day, the only thing I can suggest is before the books are opened, that this book is opened. This book will tell it to you just like it is. It doesn't beat around the bush. It doesn't sugarcoat it. It won't lie to you. It tells you the truth. There's no creative accounting with God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Look what it says. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, I was counting on my righteousnesses. I was storing them up, and I had them right there, and I thought I was rich in good works, and I thought that my righteousnesses would somehow get me through, and I was kind of counting on them like some people were counting on their Enron stock for their retirement, and I was putting all my hope in that stock. If you're putting your hope and faith in your righteousnesses, you're in trouble. Why? Because all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. Aren't they worth something? For salvation, they're worth nothing. They're worthless. I don't know if you're a good bookkeeper or not, but God keeps good accounts. God keeps good records. Did you know that every time you sin and every time I sin, that there is a debit recorded in a book somewhere? Every single sin must be paid for. Satan is on the Enjoy Now and Pay Later program. People sin every single day in word and in thought and in deed, and somehow think that, oh well, the bill has not come yet. Okay, it's all right. Let me assure you, the Bible says, your sins will find you out. What does that mean? That means every sin in word or thought or deed, every sin will be paid for. Maybe you just didn't get the bill yet. Maybe you just didn't get the bill yet. Some people got the bill already and they're having trouble making the payment. You see them everywhere. You read about them in the newspaper. The payments are high. Worse than that, you could never pay for sin. It would take more than eternity for you to pay for all your sins, and for me to pay for my sins. And one day when I saw that, when God Almighty gave me a glimpse, if you will, of just how in debt I was, it took my breath away. And I agreed with God. I was a sinner. But what can you do? Is there any hope? A couple of things, if you'll look with me. At Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. You read the newspaper and you read about sinners. You say, oh, you shake your head and you say, isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? Isn't that horrible? And yes, it is. But the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become, look at it, hello. They are all together become unprofitable. You see, when God goes over the books of a sinner, he comes up with the same conclusion, no matter how many times you run it through the adding machine, no matter how many times you add it up, all of the so-called good works you thought you had, all these righteousnesses that turned out to be worthless stuff and filthy rags, and on the other column, all the sins that we've ever committed, my friend, were bankrupt. And our life is unprofitable. It's going to be tragic. A sinner lives all their life only to find out that it has become unprofitable. Chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? There again is the book. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In one swift and bold move, Abraham comes like every sinner comes before God and lays out his life before the Almighty, realizing what the Scriptures have taught all along, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And that our righteousnesses are filthy rags and worthless. What can we do? Abraham believed in him, the one who is righteous, and his faith in him was counted to Abraham for righteousness. And in one swift and glorious stroke, God Almighty forgives all the debt. And there in the column of salvation, written the word righteousness. All because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, for he died to pay for my sin debt. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Every sin must be paid for. Either you will pay for it for time and eternity, never, never, never getting out of debt. Or, by faith in Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for you, place your trust in the only one who can not only cancel the debt, but make you clean and make you whole. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. There's a book somewhere, and in that book is your life. The Bible says all your deeds. One day that book will be opened, and every man will have to give an account of himself to God. I don't know what kind of an accountant you are, but if you're honest this morning, you'll have to agree with God and say, I'm a sinner. And if you agree with God that you're a sinner, don't despair. God has a remedy. God has a solution. God has a salvation for you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14, please. they that for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in his figure. And then he goes on. Look at verse 19 again. Accounting that God was able. That's spiritual accounting. That's spiritual accounting. Abraham was accounting that God was able. If you're counting on yourself to save yourself, you're cooking the book. You're going to find out that it won't work. You're going to find out that you're in debt for all eternity. But if you come to the foot of Calvary and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to his words when he says he's dying for you and believe that, the Bible says God counts that for righteousness. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 22. Do you remember a day in your life when you came to a place of realization that you were a sinner? That's what the Lord meant when he began his ministry and he spoke of on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And that person who's poor in spirit, he looked at the book and to his amazement said, "I didn't realize I was so poor." And when he realizes he's so poor because of sin, now God can make it right and put Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and Jesus' righteousness in your book, and it's accounted to you for righteousness. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So wait a minute, when you're dead, no? You still have to go over the book. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Take a look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says there are books in heaven. I don't know how many. One is a count of the deeds that you've done in your body, your work. And those books need to be balanced. The only way to balance those things, you cancel them out, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith in him. Do it today. And the moment you do that, somehow, your name is indelibly written in another book called the Book of Life, to be there forever and ever as a testimony and a testament to your faith, not in yourself, but in Jesus Christ. Don't cook the book. Don't try to hide from God your liabilities, your sins, your losses. Carry them like so many deposit slips and bills to your accountant and say, "I've made a mess of things." And you lay those sins before God Almighty. He is rich in mercy and rich in grace. He is the only one that can cancel your debt. Trust Jesus Christ. Trust him today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for so great salvation. We would never be able to pay for our sins. We thank you that the Lord Jesus died on the cross to do just that. If there's someone here this morning who has never put their faith and trust in Him, they're still counting on their own righteousness and pray that the Holy Spirit would point out to them how much folly and foolishness is in that. Help them to put their faith and trust only in Christ and His righteousness. And may we go forth in this place not only having the book balanced, but riches and glory and blessing accrued to our account. Help us to live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.